Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome in. Glad to have you here on Sports Daily as we get you ready to start the next weekend of football with a little Thursday night football tonight. Perfect timing. We'll bring in insider PJ Glasser to join us on the program, as well as Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside TJ Cleland. Max Power back in the studio getting things produced up for us. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got your video streams manned and monitored for your commentary there on Facebook, YouTube, X. We appreciate everybody watching on 12 News Connected. We appreciate everybody listening as well on the Odyssey app. It'll be a fun show. Glad to have you with us. TJ, good morning. How are you? We're having that same microphone issue, I think, TJ, there that we had yesterday. In the meantime, I'll tell you that everything coming on tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. It is a good day. It is Thursdays are I enjoy Thursday shows. I like getting the football weekend, the page turned a little bit on a football weekend, getting you ready. We've got Thursday night football, gives us our first chance to look at things. It's a game of pretty significant interest for us tonight as we look at the Denver Broncos. And as Chiefs observers, as Chiefs fans listening to this show, it's been sort of a while now as it's kind of watching Denver and hoping they lose. It's been a really long time since the Chiefs have had to do that with anybody, TJ. I think we have you now. It's been a long time since the Chiefs fans have chased anybody in the AFC West as they're chasing right now Denver.
They are chasing Denver, and you can hear me now, can't you?
Yeah, we're good.
Well, my mood has significantly changed. Remember, I answered your question of how I'm doing this morning. Whenever we start the show like that, I don't know what the hell is going on. But I was going to say I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because we get primetime football tonight and we can actually watch it. It's not on YouTube TV. It's not Monday Night Football, and I can't wait to watch football tonight.
Yeah, that's been a problem, and it's still not solved. I thought that would get solved quick. I was wrong. I don't know what the breaking point on that is, but yeah, we'll get it on Prime tonight. Another one that, you know, some people won't be able to watch. It's getting more and more difficult to do these things, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but so it is. But yeah, we get Denver right now sitting at 7-2. Look, in theory, the Chiefs still control their own destiny, right? They play Denver twice. They trail them by 2 games. But that also means that with the very difficult schedule they have left, Kansas City, in order to control that destiny, has to win every single game that they play, unless Denver loses some games. So we sit here and we're like, okay, Denver, who has been, you know, they've figured out ways to win. I'll give it to them. They have figured out some ways to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, whether it was the 13-11 win over the Jets, the 33-point fourth quarter against the Giants, or last week when it took a big comeback to the CJ Stroudless Houston Texans on the road. There have been several times where this team has figured it out. And I'll tell you right now, we'll see what PJ Glasser says. 9.5 seems like too many points to me. Vegas just traded away a weapon that they have in Jacoby Myers. I get that. But man, they got Brock Bowers back, and he is a straight up difference maker. I'll suspect that PJ is not comfortable laying 9.5 points. We'll get that in the next hour when we talk bets. That's a lot of points tonight. I think the game will be moderately entertaining with a puncher's chance for the Raiders to take him down.
I would agree, and it'd be great if they did. That would help out a bunch. You know, something weird feels like it's going to happen to these Broncos. It's going to give in eventually. It's just a matter of who it's going to be to, and it'd be poetic if it was the Raiders, I guess.
A lot of pressure for me. I'm on a Thursday Night Football heater on the first touchdown bets.
Is that what are we shifting the focus? It was all prime time. Are we shifting this now, narrowing it down to Thursday?
Well, no,
night?
It's still prime time because it still worked. You know, several times this year on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, the strategy has still played out pretty well in all primetime games, but the Thursday night games have been especially fruitful. Of course, that was Mark Andrews last week. The week before that, I believe was it a Ronde Gadsden? Yeah, yep. It was a Ronde Gadsden the week before that was a hit. Let's see what it was in week 7. I'll be able to recall if I got it. Steelers Bengals. Wrong tight end. I think we went Noah Fant and it was Pat Freiermuth. But the tight end slash quarterback strategy still worked there. Before that, it was Eagles Giants.
Goddard.
Goddard was the hit, yep. Wasn't he?
Yep.
Didn't Goddard hit that week?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. We'll go back to week 5, 49ers Rams. I don't think we did either. I think that was Kittle's return. It was Tonjes. We hit that one. We hit Tonjes.
Oh yeah.
It was Tonjes. So we're back to week 5 here now. Week 4. We're just going to roll this back. Seahawks Cardinals. That would have been.
Was it McBride?
That was Barner, tight end. Barner, like I'm telling you, week 3. And one of these is Bo Nix because no, that was Monday Night Football. Bo Nix was a quarterback hit, and Caleb Williams was a quarterback hit. So I've hit both of those. They were quarterbacks. Now we're looking at this thing. This was Ollie Gordon. So you got to go back to, what did I say that was? Week 3?
Week 3, yep.
Week 3. That's how long it's been. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking a tight end tonight, most likely. But the problem is going to be that, Brock Bowers, 9-1. If you think the Raiders can score first, that's the risk in taking them as they're heavy underdogs. And then I guess Evan Engram is the option for Denver at 14-1. So we'll see. We'll think about that. I'll stew on it a little bit. Has Evan Engram even caught a touchdown this year? I don't know that he has.
I don't know if he has either.
But yeah, and look, it's not when the pressure's on now for me, because other people besides you are watching this and giving me a hard time. I don't have to take the tight end. It's just been fruitful. Evan Engram on the year with his 26 catches and 215 yards. Not lighting the world on fire like a lot of us thought he might this year. I actually thought he might have a good year. No catches last week against Houston. But he had four catches the week before that and five catches the week before that. Evan Engram not scored since early October. I might take Evan Engram at 14-1 tonight. I'm gonna think about that.
We'll get your official statement by 9 a.m.
I'll have it by the end of the show. We'll see what PJ thinks as we hit a big one last week as well. It's fun. It's been a fun trend that I hope continues to bankroll the rest of my bets that lose all week, which would be nice. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. It's Sports Daily. We are just getting revved up here on a Thursday. We've got plenty for you. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily, Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. Watch the new season of Landman as it is about to drop on Paramount Plus. You Landman guy, TJ? Watch Landman?
I haven't, but it sounds good.
It's very good. It's very good. Billy Bob Thornton nails it, and I'm seeing Sam Elliott on the previews now. Are you kidding me? You take a show that was really, really good, and you just kind of casually toss Sam Elliott into it? Oh, man. It's going to be good stuff.
Remember the old high school wrestler from Bueller whose name was Sam Elliott? I used to always make that joke.
Oh, yeah.
They got Sam Elliott on the wrestling mat? No way. Jacob, I got breaking news for us this morning on Sports Daily. Okay. As of December 1st, 2025, ESPN Bet is shutting down.
What?
Yep. ESPN what? And Penn Entertainment are ending their sports betting partnership. After signing a 10-year, $2 billion deal in 2023, ESPN Bet will officially shut down next month with 8 years left of the initial agreement. That's from Joe Pompliano of Front Office Sports.
What? Well, that's the one I've been hitting on my bet. How many? I've only until December 1st.
Yep.
What in the world? That so, is.
That may be NBA betting scandal related that they're trying to back off of that, and maybe something else. But a lot of people are inferring it's the first, the prior.
What on earth? Why? How is that happening? Goodness gracious. I'm going to have to. That is wild. They invest so much into their business of that now.
It looks like it is. So Penn Entertainment was right. The Barstool Sportsbook.
Correct, yes.
And now it's ESPN Bet. And now it looks like it's going to the Score Bet, which is
the Score Bet.
It's kind of like Bleacher Report, but it's like it's a thing. It's called the Score.
Isn't that crazy? Now. So that's what's so wild about that to me is you've got this monster in ESPN and – you know, it feels like everybody's like, oh, you know, this is such a the house always wins and all of these things, man. Like, I don't know if that's true. I mean, ESPN doesn't shut this down if they're making money. Right. Like that's there's way too much money. This Pompliano reporter said he was bearish from day one and predicted that they would shut it down in 2026. That's pretty wild, man. That is
stuff. I think that there's just a conversation to be had about, you know, journalistic integrity. You know, if you have a sports book, that treads the line. There's a gray area there.
Yeah. I guess what integrity would you be
concerned
with?
I think the I don't know. I think the biggest part is the fact of where 90% of Americans get their sports news is also offering props based on the sports news that they're breaking is kind of a weird line to take.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
that. I think that the talk shows
coaches,
are fine.
Do they set the odds based on what they know?
Yeah, that's a weird part of it.
I suppose I could see that.
Where
I would, here's what I would bet is that they're not making any money with it. That's what I would bet.
I don't know.
I mean, why would you? You're not going to shut that business down if you're making money with it. I don't know. I guess I don't. It doesn't. Adam Schefter's job doesn't, like, I'm not concerned that he's not doing it because a parent company also has a betting app. I mean that now that's just me, but it'll be interesting to see how they do it. They have so much tied to it that is it a clean break? Do they then go and pick up, which I believe they previously had, other sites to be their betting partners and provide us with the lines? And
I think I saw that actually. Let me look.
Man, what that is! Well, I would have not predicted that. I actually like their app. I think their app's pretty good.
So man. I don't know. I think that I don't know. I mean, speculation will tell you that you think that it's tied to the NBA thing, and I think of the conversation of it's just everywhere. I think that they feel like that there could be a big problem with them being like, you know, like we may not be helping the situation. We should probably branch off.
Well, and yeah, there've been a few that have flamed out on this, and you have to have the best app. Man, I'm going to have to look at more of this and get some of the details on it as we make our way through. They sent out a release. Does everything just move over? I don't even remember what happened when I don't know that I was on the Barstool one. I don't think I was. Yeah, anyway, speaking of bets,
that was one of the biggest questions about, like, what about my Super Bowl futures on ESPN Bet?
I'm sure they'll just cash them out, but you'll miss out on those odds that you would have gotten or wouldn't have gotten. And I think I probably have some of those. Rick from the Top Rope, speaking of betting, we're talking about our Thursday night football bet. Troutman, 25-1, he says tonight. Tight end. I like it. Rick, I like where your head's at. Maybe a little small hedge. I'm leaning. I'll tell you, I'm leaning Ingram with a small hedge on Bowers. But that's what we'll see. But I like that, Rick. I like where your head's at. Man, this is a wild story. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later in the show. We'll certainly get PJ Glasser's take on it, our betting insider. Good timing. We've had fortuitous timing with him on some big betting stories in the last few weeks. Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with the NBA stuff. I don't think so. I don't think all of a sudden their moral compass on the ability to walk and chew gum at the same time changed. I would bet you they're just not making money. I mean, I think it's probably that simple. I will tell you that I don't know very many people that use ESPN Bet. Mm-hmm. I do because I like their promos. But most people still use the originals, right? They're usually either on FanDuel or DraftKings or BetMGM. Those were the original ones out there. And then Caesars eventually joined, and what's Bet365 joined this year. We saw Barstool go up and down. Now we've seen ESPN, of course, do the same thing. So we'll see what happens. That's an interesting development for sure, and probably a pretty good one for the other apps, as they're going to get all that business coming back their way. Okay. We've got a couple of quarterback situations to monitor here, TJ, that have been of interest. CJ Stroud's not going to play this week. So that's a bummer for them. I mean, you hate to see that. And then the other one I saw yesterday was Kyler Murray goes to IR. So that's pretty wild. That means he's out another four games. I don't think you can do that retroactively in the NFL. So it's the Jacoby Brissett show. That one smells of we're going with Brissett and we're not trying to shake the wagon. Four games? We're in week 10? 10, 11, 12, 13? What, are they going to go 2-2 and then give it back to Kyler Murray? I mean, there were some reports that he was ready to play on Monday and he didn't come back.
No. I think Kyler may be done in Arizona.
I do too. That was what I was going to ask you. Will Kyler Murray, injury aside, you know, if Jacoby Brissett goes down or something this year after the fact, but injury aside, are Kyler Murray's days of being the starter there done.
I think that next year Kyler Murray will be playing for the Cleveland Browns or the New York Jets.
I think he'll be a Jet. You're
right. Shador Sanders is a starter for the Browns
That's
next
right,
year,
maybe. That's right. What have we even seen from Dylan Gabriel? Is it Shador time yet? Like, what are we doing
here? I can't believe they haven't done it yet. Because
Dylan Gabriel to me, he's been not good. What are we doing? He's a rookie though, so you got to have some grace. He had a pretty good game. Was that against Pittsburgh? But he didn't do anything a whole lot. He's not running at all. So as a passer, last week was his the highest passing volume he had in a while. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in that game against New England. His quarterback rating in the games he has started, he's flirted with being good. His first start against Minnesota was okay. Like, he probably hasn't done enough to just outright lose the job, and he wouldn't as a rookie typically. It's just that Shador's sitting there, and what are you going to do with it? Right, what are you going to do with Shador? They don't have any pressure to play him. We don't talk about Shador very much anymore. So I think the pressure to play Shador is low, and the Browns in that sense have won that, right? They can just sit around. Flacco got traded. It's the Gabriel era now. If we're asking definitive questions and guesses, Kyler Murray, here's one. Does Shador Sanders start a game for the Browns this year?
Yeah. I think he was going to from the start, honestly. I think that after you saw what – is Flacco – who was the starter to start the year? Was it Flacco?
Flacco, yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah. I don't think that anybody knew that Flacco was going to play the entire year, and I think that people kind of were looking at it as like, well, I mean, is Dylan Gabriel going to do that? And is Shador going to be the QB2? Like, is there going to be chances for him to get into a game? I think he'll start. Well, I think it may be – like 16-17 or something like that, just to close up the year, just to see.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I would say, I'll say yes, just because injury chances and everything else are high. It's hard to, Dylan Gabriel, unless Dylan Gabriel's really bad, though, you don't really want to take that away from him either. All right, let's go to the KFH hotline. Max has Andy there for us. Andy, what's on your mind? Good morning. Welcome to Sports Daily.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I was going to touch base on a couple things. I was initially going to talk on the gambling part of it, but then since you brought in Kyler Murray and where the Cardinals are at, man, if you looked at that most recent game for the Cardinals, it's a no-brainer for them not to just keep going with Jacoby Brissett as far as while Kyler's on IR, but beyond. He was the new quarterback was the first one to really start targeting Marvin Harrison Jr. and made it look so easy. There was target after target after target, and they've been waiting on that for a year and a half to get Harrison Jr. in there. So, I mean, that looked so good that that's a no-brainer for those guys. But as far as the ESPN bet thing, Jacob, could you elaborate? I mean, these sports books are giving worse and worse odds year after year after year. And ESPN has so much visibility that it strikes me as a little bit tough for those guys not to be pulling a profit, especially when most of what they're promoting. Yeah, I mean, most of what they're promoting are specialized parlays, and we know how the customer usually ends up on a parlay. So I find it a little bit tough that they wouldn't be making money. I tend to go a little bit more with – it's not a good look for ESPN and ultimately Disney and those guys when you've got a story breaking about Chauncey Billups and everything that's going on with that story, and they have to literally pull their ESPN bet, the advertisement that's sitting on the creeper at the corner of the screen. So
that challenge has been there, and I think here's what I would say, and it looks like they are announcing and are about to announce that they're entering a new massive multi-year endorsement deal with DraftKings. So I would bet that when you put it all on the table and you talk about ESPN being in the business of operating a sports book, making money, doing all the things that it has to do with it, or just letting DraftKings do it and write them a check, I think when push comes to shove, it's just probably a better investment for them to pass that on. I mean, it's, you know, these companies that do it are, that's what they do, right? It's what DraftKings does. It's what FanDuel does. It's all they do. For ESPN to try to do this, the reason I've always said it's fine and it should be separate is because it's not like these personalities and these reporters and these people are the ones trying to operate a sports book. You know, like Stephen A. Smith isn't setting the odds to a game or anything. So it's walk and chew gum. I think it can be done, but now, and look, this big betting scandal may have something to do with that. That may have been the nail in the coffin to say, you know what, like this is, it's too much. It's not worth, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. We DraftKings, write us a check. And instead of that, crawl at the bottom. Because here's what would happen. That same story breaks, and it's a DraftKings bet your whatever in the bottom corner. Is that, what is that? What difference does it make? You know what I mean? Yeah. They're taking a check from DraftKings. So, like, they're making money in the betting space, whether it's ESPN Bet or DraftKings or whatever it is. It's generating income for the company.
Yeah, I think to your point, Jacob, I think maybe just the one other part of this that just doesn't sit right with me is that, and this indicates that maybe there's a little bit more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and it's not strictly as easy as just a simple dollars and cents business decision, is the fact that they've pulled out of it 2 years into a 10-year agreement. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think that if you were willing to write up a 10-year agreement on the front end, you could even anticipate some financial challenge getting going yep. out of the gate, or at least through the duration of that 10-year term, and not terminate it. So the fact that they were willing to do a 180 on this so early just leaves me scratching my head a little bit. And almost, if I'm looking at the glass half empty on this thing, if these gambling issues similar to the Chauncey Billups story are relevant to this piece at all, it tells me there might be more around the corner that they know about. So I'll let you guys go. I appreciate your time. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, Andy. I think maybe I would say I would.
I just don't think it's. I think that as you're both of you guys have the point here. I think that they probably were making money. I don't think that they were making enough money to justify the brand look that it was doing for them.
I don't know how much Disney, as the bigger company, cared about being about doing this. There's other reporting right now that this new, you know, a Penn approach may be more into like casino, what are called iCasinos, I guess. But here's something really interesting. In this breakup, Penn retains a database of almost 3 million digital users acquired through the ESPN relationship. So that's got a lot of value in it. Penn may be okay with them walking away from this. You know, they sold Bartwood, famously, you know, ran like, $700 billion, whatever, and sold it back to Barstool for a dollar. They're a casino, it sounds like. And so they're just, you know, getting user information that all has value. And I thought I saw in maybe original press release, there was language built into the contract for an early break. We're going to get more details on this. Obviously the conspiracies on this, are tremendous, but I don't know very many people that actually use the ESPN Bet app. I do, but I don't think a lot of people do. And the only reason I do is because they offer generous promos, probably because nobody's signing up for them. And so I do think it has more to do with, because again, like the conflict of interest that exists when you see it on the Fox NFL pregame show or the in-game broadcast where it said, here's your same game parlay brought to you by DraftKings, literally from the play-by-play guys. Like those aren't going away. The ticker is still going to have DraftKings on it instead of ESPN Bet as they're reading a story about a Chauncey Billups betting scandal. So, look, there was language in this that they could get out after the third year. So they're just exercising that language. Everybody's saying now they were, you know, it sounds like the Penn group is going to get out for the most part of the sports betting, focus on their casino thing. ESPN was making $150 million a year from Penn. to do this, they'll probably make that much from DraftKings. So it probably is a combination of all of these things. ESPN's like, you know what? To hell with it. We'll make just as much money with DraftKings. Let's just leave this thing for somebody else. We'll take their money and we can not have to worry about it. So we'll see how that works. These primetime first touchdown bets for me, those have all been ESPN bets. So we got to make some money over the next month. We'll talk to PJ Glasser, get his take on all this as we come back. Big 12 weekend. TJ does not feature K-State. We'll talk K-State football in the state of the program with Tim Fitzgerald coming up. It does feature KU, though, on the road to Arizona. Arizona is a slight favorite in the game. I kind of thought they'd maybe be more of a favorite, but what do we think here? This is one of the games Kansas needs. They need one more win.
Yep.
In their next three games to be bowl eligible. This will be the game I would imagine that they will be the closest as far as the line goes, but it is on the road. After this one, it's at Iowa State after a bye week, and then back home to face Utah. This is probably the best chance, even though it's a road game, for KU to lock that up. If they don't win this one, it's going to be butt pucker in time for their bowl chances, I think.
Yeah, I agree. This is the one that you need to win because you're going to – that Iowa State game's on the road as well, if I'm not mistaken. And then that's right. They host Utah, who's – in the college football playoff rankings, is the number 13 team in the country. So you got to go win this one, but it's not going to be a tough one, or it's not going to be an easy one. And that's kind of what it was after that Sunflower Showdown loss. Looking at it, it was like, well, there's four games left, and you got to win two of them. You're guaranteed about one of them. So where's the other one coming? And if it's not going to be on Saturday, then it is going to get real stressful down the stretch. I think that they can beat Arizona. It just depends on the version of KU that we see.
So let's talk for a second about those CFP rankings, and not that they involve KU. And look, KU in that game, I mean, strategically, TJ, I don't think much changes for KU. They have to have Superman stuff from Jalen Daniels. It feels like to win these games, and they'll need it again against Arizona, and they'll have to find a way to play a little bit, they'll have to play a little bit better defense. So that's kind of it. We'll see him play. We'll see him play. Okay. CFP rankings. Glad you brought that up. This is an interesting ranking as it stands currently. You know, Utah at 13, two teams are in, BYU Tech, who play each other. So as we look at this thing in totality, do you think there's a path for two Big 12 teams making it in?
I think so. I think that if BYU and Texas Tech both still stay kind of where they're at, obviously one of them has to lose because they're playing each other. I don't know, actually. Now that I'm saying that out loud, I don't know if I believe
that. It's going to be tough.
Because they play each other, and then you think that they'd play each other again. There's going to be one of them that has two losses, basically.
Utah gets Baylor, Kansas State, and Kansas still on its schedule. Texas Tech and BYU, somebody's getting a loss in that game. Right? BYU doesn't have one yet. Texas Tech has one. We know, though, that they're right in the standings. The game is probably falling out, I would imagine, of the CFP. Maybe not. Maybe they can hang tight there. But then BYU finishes with TCU, Cincinnati, and UCF. I think the path is probably Texas Tech beating BYU, BYU winning the rest of its games. So you'd have Tech and BYU each with one loss, and then you've got to roll the dice a little bit if you meet again championship that one of two lost that one of them get that with two losses can still get in. It's not a sure thing, but it's possible. It's looking like it's going to be more possible than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
But, man, it goes back to as I'm watching this play out, and I know Brett Yormark is doubling down on the future. Boy, it'd be nice to have two guaranteed bids in this thing.
I mean, I think that this is showing his side of it more than anything, of him saying, we don't want two guaranteed bids because – What happens if Utah gets good and then you get three? Like, you don't want to you know, give out free bids to people. Like, I think that that's the whole
they're
point.
They wouldn't. They would just guarantee themselves two. I mean,
SEC would guarantee themselves blank.
Right now, in the top 12, the SEC has six teams in the top 12. That's probably not going to change. The Big Ten has three. That's the one. It's not the SEC that bothers me. It's the Big Ten. Big Ten doesn't deserve five.
That's your Mark's point, is what I'm saying here, is that if this model goes into play, it's great that the Big 12 gets two, but it's not great that the Big Ten gets whatever the number is. Is it two or three? I don't know how many it is.
Well, can they do two each and four auto bids? Now the SEC wouldn't like that. The SEC wouldn't like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would just if the Big 12 agrees to something, it's going to handicap them because people are going to get so much more.
Looking at an absolute best case scenario this year, and it's maybe going to get you two.
But if, like, the thing is though, is that you, like, it's a gamble. I agree, and I mean it's great to get two in there, but you know, in some cases, like, what's to say the Big 12, with all the new landscape of college sports, won't be better than the Big Ten in 5 years, you know?
Well, the problem is they're top to bottom, they are better than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But at the very top, they're not close. Right?
I mean,
that's the problem. So
are
they ever going to be? Is there ever any world where any team in the Big 12 becomes Ohio State? Right?
Who knows? I agree.
We literally have an entire history going back to 1996.
We don't have an entire history
Texas and Oklahoma. That's not going to happen.
We don't have an entire history of the oil rigs in Lubbock paying $1 billion for a football team, though. Like, it's different.
That money runs dry, right? They can't do that every year. It's not inherently.
Does the oil run dry? Where's the money run dry? If they're going to keep doing it, they're going to keep doing it.
Texas Tech's not going to do this every year. It'd be great if they did. They won't. Ohio State puts 100,000 people at a game, right? Like, it's different. It's not the same. And I just. We have a situation presenting itself this year where, okay, let's say Tech doesn't lose that game that they lost, and they and BYU, how much higher would they be in these rankings? They'd probably be at least in the top five, I would think. But you don't change much with that. This is the scenario, right? We're nine games into this thing, and you have two Big 12 teams with one combined loss. And you have to try pretty hard to find the scenario where they both make it in, because they're probably playing each other again in the Big 12 championship game. And there's not really a scenario that's better than this. What if BYU beats Tech? Okay. And then Tech has two losses and Utah has two losses, and one of them's going to have three. Potentially, because they lose in a Big 12 championship game.
I mean,
maybe that's the best case scenario, is that BYU wins this round and Tech wins round two.
I was going to say, look at the ACC last year, who was terrible. And, you know, it was just Clemson was the good team, basically. And then SMU beat them. And then SMU got in.
That's not the way to look at it. You don't want to get in just because your best team gets beat in a championship game. That's an outlier. And that was to get two in. So if you're guaranteeing me two, give me the scenario where there's going to be three. We're grasping for straws and hoping to get two. Nobody's envisioning three.
No.
So why not take two guaranteed? What year is it going to be three teams?
I mean, would there have been a year? Think about, like, the OU Texas, like, whenever they were still in it, would there have been a year where they had three teams in the top 10?
Let's see how good AI is. Or is Google, when I Google search something now, is that technically AI? Is it? That's a legitimate question.
I mean, it'll sometimes give you AI answers, but Google's still Google if you don't look at the AI part.
Yes, the Big 12 has had three or more teams in the final AP. Oh, that's top 25. Okay. So here's our years, 2000, 2001, and 2008, it's according to Google's AI overview. Never had three in the top 12. The best they've had is two in the top 12. That happened when Oklahoma and Kansas State were in there. Kansas State was finished 12th in 2000. I'm going off AP rankings, obviously, because the CFP hasn't always existed. And then in 2008, Texas and Oklahoma finished 7th and 8th. If you remove Texas and Oklahoma from this equation that I'm looking at, not even close. The closest would have been, nope, not even close. You haven't even had two. Minus Texas and Oklahoma, you haven't even had two finish in the top 25.
There's no, I mean, like, think back to, like, I mean, I remember the KU-Mizzou, like, top five matchup back in whatever that year, when Todd Reesing
was
playing.
Those teams aren't
there,
here like, anymore, though.
Yeah, but who's to
I'm
say?
I'm talking not, about like, the teams that are, I just, boy, I don't know, man.
Who would have thought that BYU is a top seven team in the country playing in the Big 12 for a championship in 2008? It changes. Things are different.
I know it changes. That's part of the problem. And I'm not saying it's, I love that. Oh, man. It's not much.
It just feels like, I think I agree with your mark. I feel like, one, I feel like it just takes away. I think that it's a little bit of the competitiveness in your mark, just saying it takes away from the spirit of the game of saying, like, yeah, you know, we deserve to. It's like, well, you should go earn
to. I get that part, and I love it about your mark. I'm trying to be realistic.
I think that it would just, it might bite them. Like, it might not, but it might bite them. And then you're going to think back and say, God, why the hell did we do
that? What would be the scenario, though, where it bites them? That a bad Big Ten team is in, and your third place team gets screwed. They're still at larges. In that,
I mean, what happens? What happens if K-State is number 12 team in the country and they get booted because Michigan got the second auto bid?
Or the fifth auto bid would be the problem.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Busy hour number two. PJ Glasser, Tim Fitzgerald, both joining the program. Don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you on this Thursday. We got a lot coming up for you in this hour. We will get in our betting insider, PJ Glasser. Ask him, of course, what's going on here with ESPN Bet this morning, announcing that it is going away. At the same time, ESPN pumping a big partnership with DraftKings. So we'll get that. And then, of course, his thoughts on some of the games this weekend. He is with BetMGM. There's lots of different ways you can do it. Nobody's going to lose a wink of sleep over any of this. We also have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. I want to talk to him about some of the stuff we were talking about earlier in the week, state of the program, K-State fans. I want to ask him about these CFP rankings and see if he's, you know, changed his mind at all when he sees it playing out. But we'll get into all of that. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oztoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that'll make you click your heels, grab your stein, follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. You've got Thursday Night Football tonight. You'll hear it right here on KFH. 6:30 coverage begins. All right, TJ. Something I've been trying to catch up on this ESPN Bet story. Apparently, this new partnership, I was reading through that, you know, news release. They're going to have a tab inside the new ESPN app that's there. ESPN, and customers will receive special promotions for ESPN Unlimited. That's what they're trying to get us to sign up for, right? Now that they're screwing up the YouTube TV thing,
they're going to do that on DraftKings. You mean?
DraftKings is going to have that in through ESPN. So they're going to milk this thing and make a whole bunch of money and not have the headache of it. And I would imagine all the things we talked about in the last hour are probably collectively true. And it's just like, you know what, whatever. That was a fun adventure. It's not worth the time and effort and energy. Let's just take DraftKings money and move on with our lives. We'll leave it to the salespeople now, you know, and they'll, you know, you can't talk about, we talked about TJ, like lines and betting and all of these things. Those have been a part of sports far before we could all bet on our phones. Like, it's how we determine underdogs. It's how all of that stuff happens. So I don't think a lot will change in the programming aspect from ESPN, but whatever. ESPN is not hurting for cash as they do all of these things for us. We have conversations coming here that will be fun and exciting. BYU Tech, TJ, we were talking about that. Who are you taking in that one before we get to picks tomorrow? Just in, from a football, Tech is a 10-point favorite in that game.
Wow. I'm not thinking that. I'd probably take the points.
You're going to be forced to, and we'll ask PJ Glasser about it, but that just tells you, like, there's still not a big buy-in to BYU this year.
I agree. I mean, I don't think I've watched BYU, honestly. They're always on at 10 p.m. But
I've watched them, and they look good.
They do look good, but you watch them, and they're not like they were last year, honestly. Where last year, like, they had some, like, players that, like, and you knew their name, and now it's just like, I know their quarterback's name is Bear, and but they just do what they do so well, and that's kind of what they did last year as well, honestly, to backtrack on my point here. But Sataki's an awesome coach. Like, their buy-in is awesome. I don't know, they just find ways to win football games, and
they do.
They
but can they go on they just went on the road and got Iowa State by 2 touchdowns. But now they have to follow it. And they had a week off in between with a road trip to Lubbock. But if you look at their schedule, to your point, it's wins over Portland State, Stanford, East Carolina, Colorado, West Virginia, 2 overtimes against Arizona. So it's like, okay, up until that point, you're like, none of those really impressed me that much. They beat Utah at home. That was the first one where you're like, okay, that's a big one. They follow that up going to on the road to beat Iowa State by 2 touchdowns. So I was sort of with everybody up until the middle part of October, but their last 2 games, I'm like, all right, like they're very much a real deal here. But I still like Tech quite a bit more. This is I cannot wait for this is I'll tell you this. I'll put it this way. Outside of KU and K-State, who we follow and watch for a little different reasoning, this is the game I'm the most excited about so far in this college football season.
Yeah, this will be awesome. It's the 11 a.m. kickoff, too, isn't it? It's the early one.
College game day coming back. You've seen probably Tech boast at first time since the Michael Crabtree corner of the end zone game. I was telling you fun stories. That was my first big assignment in the business was that game. On the sidelines down there, kicking it with Matthew McConaughey. But it's been a while. It's going to be very hard for them not to throw tortillas. We'll put it that way. Yeah.
That'd be interesting. This might be their first home game since all that happened. Actually.
They'll be appropriately lubed up. We'll say that. Tech fans are chip on the shoulder, a little bit rowdy. That's what made the Mike Leach years so much fun. Is because, boy, he just fully embraced and embodied all of that. Like, I imagine the tortilla gate, and if Mike Leach was the head coach, he would probably at a press conference throw the bird at the Big 12 and front the bill for a pack of tortillas for every fan. Like, that's kind of how he handled things down there. Yeah. He was a real life pirate. And of course, you know, the Red Raiders and all that stuff. It was such a cool fix. But that atmosphere is going to be nuts. That is going to be a wild place on Saturday. It's been so long. It reminds you of any time a school goes that long without having it and they just go ballistic for it. That's going to be so much fun Saturday. I will be, what is it? It's the noon game, yep, 11 a.m. Yep. 11 a.m. I'll be following while coaching a fifth grade girls basketball team.
Oh, baby. What's the team name this year?
The Bolts. We've been the Bolts, we're going on third year of the Bolts here.
Oh.
We had a tough loss in the opener. We're trying to bounce back, on Saturday, but we'll catch the end of it. I'm excited for the Big 12 to have that game. This year has been, and I know it hasn't gone, our way for K-State or Kansas, and that's a bummer and it sucks. But it's been a good year for the league to show what makes this league so much fun. And to our, to put a bow for now on the conversation with the CFP we were having, the reason this league is so much fun is the reason they're going to have a hard time in the CFP. It is. Now, here's something to be fair to that conversation. In the conversation we were just having, and this is my fault partly, I'm having that conversation like we're still talking about a 12-team playoff and putting two teams or three teams into that. If and when we go down that road, right, it's going to be a 16-team playoff. So now you're talking about getting three teams into the top 16. And this year, I would say if those three teams kind of handle their business, because after those three, Utah, BYU, and Texas Tech, there's not another one in the top 25. So it's kind of up to those three to get it done. Utah's two losses are to BYU and Texas Tech, but there's definitely a path this year if they all kind of handle what they need to. If the only losses are Tech beating BYU, BYU beating Tech in this week, and then a championship game, they could get three into a 16-team playoff. So
back to that conversation, I just thought about this. 2022, you would have had K-State and TCU in there
if it was 16 teams.
If it was 12 teams.
Well, right. But with two guaranteed, you'd have had two in there also. That's what I'm saying. True. It's really about how many times would you have three, not about how many times would you have two, because I think they should take the two-team proposal because they're getting two. And the other part of it that we didn't talk about, how many teams would they only have one in 16? And that's probably the one that matters the most. It's at least 50-50. Maybe it's less than 50-50. It's probably, let's call it 35% of the time, they'd have two in to the top 16.
Yeah.
But to get it guaranteed, I think still has the value, because what will really sting is watching a 16-team playoff with only one Big 12 representative. And that will happen. That there will be years where that happens. It would have happened last year, I believe. Did anybody get in the top 16 last year?
I don't
think outside of our rep. Let me go back to 2024. The final.
Who did Arizona State beat in the championship?
Arizona State did. They
beat Iowa State. Iowa State probably would have gotten in.
No, they were 18.
Okay.
Looking at the final rankings from last year, BYU was 17. So last year would have been one of those years where they'd only had one in. It's a hard bet without Texas and Oklahoma, but it is a fascinating conference. I love it. I love watching that because that's going to be a decision that's going to be made. I don't know where we stand with the 16-team playoff. We kind of haven't talked about that in a long time. It's coming. It's going to happen. It's just which one. And now the SEC seems to be off board with it anyway. So I don't even think that proposal's on the table. Everybody just has to get the Big Ten. And yeah, if you're the Big Ten, you probably want to hold to that because you want to get five teams in. Right now, that league's not good enough to get five teams in. So
is that the number they're saying?
Five. It's 5-5, 2-2, I think. And then two auto bids, I believe that's is what it was. Or was it four? Was it four? Even if it's four, the Big Ten. I mean, come on. That's not a guarantee. I'll have to go back and look. Either way, we're going to talk to PJ Glasser next. We'll get his take on all this betting stuff today and actually look at the games we're interested in. That's next on Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glesser.
And that's right. Joined now by the host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network, PJ with us. PJ, we'll get to bets. The breaking news this morning has been a fascinating one. Your Thursday visits have been on some outside of betting line betting stores. ESPN Bet is going to die and go away. Good news for your friends at BetMGM, right?
Good news. Good news for our friends at BetMGM. Yeah, that is some big news. So, I mean, you know, they're making new deals. I think DraftKings is going to be the new sponsor there at ESPN. Yeah. So, yeah, some big news.
Do you think this is related at all to the perceived conflict for some of what they do for a living, covering, you know, betting scandals, for instance, recently? Or is this, do you think, simply the juice wasn't worth the squeeze? It wasn't making enough money, and it's just simpler to let DraftKings buy a whole bunch of ads.
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter. You know, they threw a bunch of money at ESPN Bet, and they tried to make it work, but I think ultimately it just didn't work out. So DraftKings swooped in and ended up making the new deal. So I think that's really all there is to it, to be honest.
All right, well, let's just talk about some football then, transition right into that. Thursday night football tonight pertains a lot to the Chiefs on a Chiefs bye week, as it's going to deal with the AFC West standings. I don't know if the Raiders are good enough to get it done, but the Broncos, our Chiefs insider Josh Briscoe just hates watching Broncos games because they keep finding ways. What do you make of this one?
I hate this game, to be honest with you guys. I really do. You know, I don't have any strong feelings. I will say Denver this season has had a tendency to play the level of their competition. We saw them go out to London and nearly lose to the Jets. They should have lost to the Giants at home. So the Broncos, I mean, you know, there is a chance tonight that the Raiders could keep it close. It's a divisional game. Geno against that defense, though, on the road just worries me. It feels like a game where he's going to turn the ball over a couple times. Denver's probably just going to lean on the ground game. They're going to get out of there with the win. We have seen some upsets this year on Thursday night, right? I mean, we did see San Francisco beat the Rams. We saw the Bengals beat the Steelers. The Giants beat the Eagles. So we have seen some upsets. There certainly could be a path for the Raiders to win this game. We saw some big upsets last week with the Panthers and with the Vikings as well. It feels like maybe a high variance game where either Denver just beats by like 20, 30 points, or maybe even the Raiders win it outright. But it's all about Denver. I mean, if Denver shows up, if they don't turn the ball over and, you know, their defense plays like they're capable of and they don't play down to the level of their competition, they're going to smoke Vegas. But if they mess around and keep it close, then the Raiders could make this game interesting. But to be honest with you guys, I don't think I'm going to end up betting this game tonight.
Raiders are just such a better offense with Brock Bowers there, which is interesting. PJ, last week we went my Thursday night tight end got Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Gadsden, Andrews, Tongas. Like, we just went back through it a little while ago. It's what is it? What did we come up with, TJ, since back week to, three?
Yeah.
Week three. It's been tight end central here. Is Evan Engram the play tonight? 14-1?
I think
we gotta run that back, don't we?
We do. You know, I was thinking of you, and Andrew scored first. I thought Likely was going to be the guy, so I sprinkled him, and then, of course, Andrew scores it, and I'm like, it was the other tight end. But you were all over it, Jacob, so I got to keep an eye on that. I think Engram is the play, 14-1. I like that. I also always like, in these primetime games, looking at Bo Nix to scramble for
a
touchdown.
He got one on Monday Night Football. He's paid on these on Monday Night Football, yeah.
He did. So I would take a look at him. Trevor Lawrence had two rushing touchdowns against this Raiders defense last week. So maybe keep an eye on Bo. But yeah, I mean, just play the trends. Engram, I think, is a good look, 14-1.
Yeah. PJ, we were talking at the TV job going through some of the lines from this weekend. And it took Jacob about 5 minutes per pick to make these because he thinks that these lines are so tough this week. One of the ones that we had the biggest time with was Patriots at Bucks. It looks like it's moving towards the Bucks a little bit, if I remember right. This is the one where you're going to learn if the Patriots are legit or not.
That's exactly right, because they're 7-2. Drake May's playing great, but outside of the win at Buffalo, I mean, they've beaten like all the worst teams in the league. But Tampa's also a fraudulent 6-2 in a way, because even though maybe they're passing the eye test a little bit more than New England, you know, they have some regression coming their way. I mean, they very easily could be like a 4-4 football team dealing with the Mike Evans injury long term. I'm staying away from this game because, like you said, it's kind of our learning curve on New England. It reminds me of when Indianapolis went up to Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago when we were all kind of circling that game as like the litmus test for Indy. They passed it with flying colors. We're like, okay, the Colts are kind of real. This is kind of how I feel the same way about the Bucks. So I don't have a play. Would lean probably Tampa if I had to bet it. But yeah, we're going to find out a lot about New England this week, fellas.
They're all over the slate this week. These just brutal, close, tight games. We'll go through a couple of those, and then maybe you can tell us some that aren't so tight. Rams 49ers. I mean, we're looking at a massive game there. 49ers are 4.5-point home dogs. I was stunned by that line.
Well, and, you know, this line opened up -3, guys, early, or I should say late Sunday, early Monday. Now we're here on a Thursday. It's 4.5. So it's getting to the point where, like, the number is to where I don't really want to bet the Rams anymore. The road team has normally played well in this series between Shanahan and McVay. I actually was looking at the total. I think 49.5, it might be too high. I understand San Francisco has all these injuries. Warner, Bosa, Mykal Williams is now out for the year. But when these two get together, they're normally low scoring. And I think the Rams defense is going to be able to shut down the Niner offense a little bit too. So the total is what jumped out at me. I thought 49.5 was a little bit too high. We know that the Niners are just absolutely ravaged with injuries. But the spread at -3, -3.5, Rams were a good bet. Now that we're getting up to -4, -4.5, I think you're losing value, and I don't really want to bet San Francisco, so I'd probably just look at the under in this game if I had to make a play.
PJ, I'll go to Monday Night Football really quick as well. Eagles-Packers is a major NFC one. It's going to be a bunch of fun if people can watch it on Monday Night Football. Don't get me started on that argument as well. Packers favored in this one over the defending champs. What do you think of that?
So I think the Eagles are a great teaser leg this week, +8.5. Feels like a one-score game. I think the under is probably the look as well. Packers defense has been terrific at Lambeau this season, and I think the Eagles will be able to shut down Green Bay a little bit as well. It's a tough game, though, guys, because Philly's coming off a bye week, so they got the extra rest, but then you have Green Bay obviously coming off that terrible loss to Carolina. So both teams will be hyper-focused. It's a massive game for the NFC. Playoff standings and tiebreakers and all those kinds of things. It's tough to bet the Packers against the Packers when they're at Lambeau, especially when they just are coming off a horrendous loss to Carolina. But you never get the Eagles as like dogs like this, unless it's against Mahomes or the Chiefs, it feels like, right? So I would just take the Eagles in a teaser. Feels like a good play. Would maybe look at some under 44.5. Had to pick the game, I'd probably take the Packers. But I think it's just another one. You sit back and maybe you get a good live bet on one of those teams.
Okay, so those are all.
It's going to be like 22 degrees on Monday night in Lambeau as well.
Oof.
Those are all tough. We know that. That's why we asked you about them. What's not so tough? What are some of your favorite NFL plays?
So I actually do like the card this week, boys, but it's really none of the high profile games. Like Panthers Saints is my favorite game of the weekend. I love the Saints. I think the Saints are going to win outright this week. So think about this, right? Carolina was a 14-point dog last week in Green Bay. They're now a 5.5-point favorite against New Orleans. That is a 20-point swing in the matter of a week. You never see that in the NFL. And the Panthers, you know, they're a team, they're not used to being this big of a favorite, right? Just like Atlanta was not used to being a 6.5-point favorite against Miami. We saw how that worked out. Or how Joe Flacco at this stage of his career is not used to being a 6.5-point favorite. We saw how that worked out against the Jets, right? When you get these kind of teams that are these big of favorites, it tends to be bad for those kind of teams. So I think New Orleans wins outright. I love fading Carolina in this kind of spot. Give me the Saints. I love them.
There you go. Let's go over to the college ranks. No K-State this week. They have the bye after their loss to Texas Tech this past week. We do get KU, though. It sounds like they are just slight underdogs, you were saying, Jacob. What do you make of this Big 12 matchup here? We'll ask you about that first.
You know, I like Kansas this week. That line is very fishy with the way the KU's been playing as of late, and Arizona's been playing well, but it's come down from 6.5 to 4.5. But look, as you guys know, as your listeners know, I mean, this was the time of year last year where KU got on that roll. They had a very disappointing season, but it all flipped right around this time when they went to Provo and they knocked off BYU, and then they were just Big 12 giant killers the rest of the season. So there's something about when we get to November and Leipold now has the pulse of his team and he starts to make adjustments and he starts to get rolling. I think you can see some more of that again this year. So I know the run defense has been a big issue for Kansas. Arizona is a team that really doesn't run the ball like at an elite level. They're a team that more so wants to throw it. I think it's a good matchup. And I think that line's telling you that KU's the play this week, boys. I think they're alive, too. I think they could pull the upset over Zona.
I kind of like them on the money line myself. BYU, Texas Tech. This is as big a platform as the Big 12 has had in some time, College Game Day. It's been a long time for Lubbock to host College Game Day. Texas Tech's a 10-point favorite, though, against an unbeaten BYU team, untested until the last couple of weeks when they have two big wins. Is 10 points too many?
I don't think it is. I think Texas Tech is going to roll in this one. I mean, it's a top 10 matchup, guys. You got an undefeated team and they're getting 10 points, right? So I think that line, it's similar to the Cincinnati and Utah game last week, where that was a top 25 matchup. And people are like, why is the line 10? Well, because Utah won by 31 points. So Vegas was trying to tell you what was going to happen in this game. I think they're telling you what will happen in this one as well. Baron Morton's the key. Texas Tech starting quarterback. When he plays, they demolish people. And the closest opponent they've played when Morton's been under center was K-State last week, and they won the game by 23 points. So Texas Tech's the best team in the league. They have the best defense in the league. And when Morton is playing quarterback for Texas Tech, they're really, really tough to beat, especially at home. So BYU's having a similar season than they did last year, where they're surprising people, they're winning as underdogs, they're pulling off upsets. And then we get to this point again, that Kansas game, when it starts to unravel, I think you see that again on Saturday. So I like Texas Tech in a row.
PJ, if I told you this betting line 3 years ago, you might have punched me in the face. Penn State is 14.5-point home underdogs to the Indiana Hoosiers. That is an absurd sentence to say out loud. What do you think of that? Penn State was the preseason top five team in the country. The players are still there. The coach isn't. They haven't won a game in the Big Ten. What is going on with this line?
Yeah, they're not going to win a game in the Big Ten this week either, Jacob. TJ, that game could get ugly. Indiana's the one team in the country that I don't worry about like a letdown with. You know, I come on here every week with you guys and we talk about these top-ranked teams, what could be letdown spots, look-ahead spots, all this stuff. You never worry about that with Indiana. They always take care of business. They always beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. And I see the same thing happening with Penn State this week. I just don't see how Penn State's going to score enough points to hang tight with Indiana. You know, like if Indiana gets into the 30s, I think they're going to cover this number. So that's why I can't take Penn State. It could be one of those games. Washington, Wisconsin's very much this way too, where if you like the dog, I think you can parlay it with the under because they're correlated. You know, they're only certain way the teams, when they're catching this many points, can cover numbers, and it's if they're ugly, low-scoring games. So I think that's the only path for Penn State. But I have no interest fading Indiana with these bad teams because they just show up every Saturday and they usually just take care of business.
It'll be a fascinating one. Any other college bets we can't miss this weekend?
So I do like Auburn this week, plus the 6.5 against Vandy. You have seen in recent weeks when these teams have fired their coaches, they have shown up, right? We saw it with Florida off the bye week with Billy Napier. They showed up and they nearly beat Georgia. You saw it with UAB when they were 3-touchdown dogs. They fired Trent Dilfer. They ended up winning that game. Penn State with James Franklin nearly went into Iowa and beat them. So Auburn needed a change. They got rid of Hugh Freeze. And even though Vandy's having a great season, guys, they're playing everybody close. You know, LSU, Missouri, Texas, all these games were one score. So I think Auburn keeps that one close. And I like the Tigers plus the points.
PJ, we appreciate it. Always with the insight, always coming in hard. Let's make some first touchdown money tonight. He's the host of Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Good luck. I'll see you next week.
There goes PJ Glasser, our betting insider. All kinds of good stuff there. I don't know. How excited are you about the college slate outside of BYU, Texas Tech, and
I would say that's the big
Kansas one.
The rest of them, are all fiddle. There really isn't a ton of huge ones.
Yeah, I'm sorry and make no apologies. I'm not fired up for Oregon going to Iowa. To A&M going to Mizzou is moderately interesting and probably could be one if it gets close that catches our attention. Otherwise, it's not the best slate this week, which is another reason why it's so awesome that the Big 12 has this one. They have the game this week that everybody's watching. And I'm with PJ. Like, this is Tech's opportunity to say, hey, we stumbled. We didn't have our starting quarterback. We are a top team in the country. Is Tech a legitimate national title contender? I think that they are.
Think they are too.
That means, though, that Ohio State is the one you look at right now. But if Texas Tech played Indiana on a neutral field, who are you taking in that game? I'm taking Tech.
I don't know. Indiana is a tough ask. I like Indiana more than I like Ohio State, probably, honestly, which is crazy.
I don't. Ohio State's a wagon. They may have the five best players in the country. they're wild good this year.
They do.
A&M. Tech plays A&M. What are you doing with that?
I'd take Tech in that one, probably.
Who's at number four right now? Tech, Alabama.
I'd take Tech.
It's when you see, I'm telling you, I don't know how much you watched them before last week. It's when you watch their defense where you're like, what in the hell? Like, how are they making these plays? That's what has it for me. Like, it reminds me, you remember the Manti Te'o Notre Dame defense? That's kind of what it reminds me of. How Te'o was on every play. That's what Rodriguez does for them. And they just have this defense that evens the playing field so much. Yep. I think they're for real. So I do actually kind of like that. I'm with PJ. I like the 10 points. I'll be on Tech this weekend for that.
We forgot to ask PJ the most important betting line of the weekend. What's he think of Wichita State, Prairie View, A&M on Saturday night? That's the real marquee matchup.
We don't have that line yet. We don't have that line yet, unfortunately. PJ knows his college hoops. We'll talk a little college hoops with him coming down the line here as we make the transitions and get into some better games. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for keeping us for being supporters of the program here. It is great golf weather. They have an event, TJ, coming up called the Hardest Day in Golf, where they put the tee placements in all the worst places, and you got to like play from the tips. Sometimes there's
not on those weather games, dude.
There, it is coming up, but they do stuff like that all the time. They have all the golf. I haven't done those yet. Now that I shot sub 90, maybe I should be. Maybe I should be doing.
I can't imagine. From the times that I've golfed at Crestview, those greens are so stinking fast. I don't know if they're still fast in the fall.
They're pretty fast.
I cannot imagine putting with pin placements like that on those.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my sub 90 was in danger because of putting. Like not anything else. And I'm a bad putter anyway. But appreciate Crestview Country Club. Give them a call. Ask them about all their different memberships today.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Well, we're joined by our pal Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, fellas?
We're doing good. A lot of interesting stuff we're kind of digging into a little bit this week. And we'll talk K-State. The thing that has our interest peaked are the CFP rankings, as we're seeing them get closer to the edge. And I continue to wonder, as this expands to 16, whether or not it'd be a good bet for the Big 12 to just take the two guaranteed. What do you think the chances are that there will be two in this year?
Oh, I think they're really high unless the Big 12 goes full Big 12 and those top three teams start losing a lot. I think the chances are really strong on two in. And, there's a fringe shot at three. So, I don't know. We just have to see what develops. There's so much chaos lays ahead.
Well, Fitz, that's because Kansas State's going to find their way into the Big 12 championship and get that final spot and get the auto bid, obviously. Just kidding. Let's talk about Texas Tech this past week. K-State turned it over five times, and as you walk out of the stadium, you're like, that sucks. They turned it over five times. And as I've sat and thought about it at least, it's like Texas Tech is really good at making you turn the football over. That might have been more of a Tech thing than a K-State thing this past weekend.
Yeah, it really was. I kind of look at it this way. They had three turnovers, and then the pressure cooker caused two more because they, had to try to open it up to rally from nine down, and it all, broke loose. Jacob Rodriguez, I've never said this about a man. He's a great ball puncher. I didn't know that was like a title you could have. But he can, it's amazing. He's created an art form of causing fumbles by punching the ball. And, it's disturbing how good he is at it. I mean, what are they teaching these guys? I don't understand how they can be so much better at it than anyone else has ever been, but it's very effective.
He is as much of a game wrecker as I can remember seeing defensively. Fitz, that brings us to K-State, and we've talked about this a little bit this week. Online it's where you live, so you deal with the insanity of it on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. I think it could be its most insane when we talk about college football. Is there any world that you can see that K-State should not be satisfied with Chris Klieman as the head coach 28 wins the last 3 years coming into this year. They have recruiting wins unlike we have ever seen with the program. Is it enough?
Well, I don't see him being replaced. Let's put it that way. But I don't want to say this is good enough. I mean, fans should be upset.
Obviously, year's not, but he's in general terms.
Yeah, when I don't know, maybe I'm just old enough to find it mystifying when people are upset about 8 wins at Kansas State.
Yeah.
You know, I a lot of programs would kill for 8 wins on an annual basis. And yet I understand that the program has come so close to higher levels of accomplishment that fans want to get back there. But I think a lot of people have come to believe that winning is really easy. Now I sound like a football coach. Yeah. It's not. I mean, every game someone loses. So sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And that's really how I feel this season has happened. Even though they didn't perform very well early on, they still almost won those games. I don't know. I'm not satisfied in any way by this year, but I'm also mystified at how many people want to just fire everyone over one bad season. I don't quite understand that.
Fitz, I think that was verbatim the Klieman press conference at Iowa State last year. He said the 8-win speech. So thank you for that. That's the point that I brought up earlier in the week here is that, you know, even if you think that it's not good enough and this is not what the ceiling should be for K-State, fact of the matter is, and this is all across college football, not just a K-State thing, if you fire a coach, you have to go hire a coach. And yeah. Right now there's 15 programs or something of that nature that are all trying to hire a coach this offseason. You're probably not going to get somebody better than Chris Klein. That's the thing these fans are misunderstanding, I feel like.
Well, a lot of them have created this world in which if you fire Chris Klein, Colin Klein just immediately shows back up. You know, it was not that long ago when fans were bitching about Colin Klein's play calling.
Thank you. I feel insane for saying that. And everybody's like, no, he's great. He was great. They won a Big 12. Like, and people complain the entire time.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. Well, first of all, I don't believe Colin's going to come back at this moment. I think he's got opportunities ahead of him that any college football coach would want, which is SEC. So I think this idea that if we get rid of Chris Klieman, we'll get Colin Klein is, first of all, it's false. I don't believe that to be true. And you're right. There's going to be a lot of open jobs, and which is great for me because I might be a head coach. I mean, there's so many open jobs. Maybe someone will go, yeah, let's hire that guy.
It's not, and to further that, he has NFL opportunities potentially down the road. Mm-hmm. But even let's just say he did. What are the chances he's an awesome coach? What are the chances if you make that swap, even if it is him, who's never coached before, by the way, that he can walk in and average 8 wins a season?
Yep.
I would say they're low.
Yep. I know, particularly in this environment. I mean, another thing fans aren't quite grasping is because of the NIL and the portal, it's just really volatile out there. I mean, we saw Utah tank last year, and Utah's coach like Bill Snyder coached. You know, I mean, they've just been so consistent year after year, but now you can see teams have a few things go wrong, and all of a sudden their floor just caves in and they go much lower than we ever thought. There's a lot of programs out there. That's what's leading to these firings is there's a lot of programs that just, you have a bad year. And if you have a bad year at the wrong time, fans will take you to the town square and hang you up.
Fitz, enough doom and gloom. Let's talk about basketball. First half of that one, was also kind of doom and gloom, but they figured it out. They got there. They were losing at halftime to Greensboro and then put up 60 points in the second half of a basketball game. How do you walk out of Bramlage that night?
It was confusing. I mean, I thought I was joking at halftime that Coach Tang had this team in midseason form.
Yeah.
But boy, they flipped a switch. And, you know, as I look back at the game, I'm thinking, I think he was on them so much about defense and rebounding, they forgot to have offense. And they came back out in the second half, were much more relaxed on the offensive end. And I haven't seen in a while. I mean, they were just making shots after shots. And that's what this team's capable of. And if he can get them to play defense at a much higher level than what they did in the exhibition games, they're going to be really hard to outscore. A refreshing change of pace from the last few years.
Well, I mean, that's what they want to do, right? Like that. I don't know how good they'll be defensively, but if I look at that game and it's a high Haggerty shot volume, along with a lot of Haggerty free throws, seeing a bunch of people just shoot threes like that, that I think is their ticket. I don't know how good they're going to be down low. Maybe you have an insight on that. I have none. But if it's going to be Haggerty and a bunch of shooters, I actually think that's going to work. I think offensively that's going to be a good path for them.
I agree. I mean, at least it's going to be a more entertaining brand of basketball. I mean, the last few years trying to watch them score was like sitting in at the dentist appointment watching other people get worked on. It wasn't enjoyable at all. It was kind of painful to watch. And all of a sudden they got a bunch of dudes that can hit three pointers. I mean, I looked down in the second half and I thought, man, they're hitting a lot of three pointers. And, you know, they had Bashir and Johnson were 4 for 4 in the second half alone from three pointer. It was crazy how hot they got. And it's just a much more enjoyable brand of basketball.
Fitz, I didn't get a chance to watch much of the game. I was at Wichita State that night. There was a lot of talk about what Coach Driscoll was going to bring to the offense as it being a little bit less of a, you know, the let-him-cook YMCA offense that Jerome Tang has ran. And it's worked whenever you have guys like Marquise Noel. It doesn't work when you don't have guys like Marquise Noel. What did it look like? Was it the same, you know, structure that we've seen, or was there, you know, things happening?
Yeah, a lot more motion, a lot more movement. But here's the thing. You always look like a brilliant basketball coach. Your offense is really well designed. If dudes just start hitting three-pointers, yeah. I mean, everything looks better when you're scoring. But, yeah, I noticed that early. Even though they were missing shots, there was a lot of movement, not just the point guard dribbling until he's got to go take a shot. I think there's much more going on here. And plus, guys, they go deeper on the bench. They bring guys in that can just flat-out score. And, you know, they didn't have anyone like that coming off the bench in past years. So I really like what I saw. But I also know this. The Big 12 is going to be outrageously good.
Yeah.
The Big 12 is going to be outrageously good. What do you make, real quick, Fitz, what do you make of the schedule this year for K-State? The non-con, obviously.
Do you
like it?
Nah, you know, it's okay. But I think Jerome Tang's come to realize you can't knock yourself out during the non-con. You got to go win these games. And you just got to win your non-con. And then when you get into the Big 12, your strength of schedule will take off. And that'll be more true this year than ever. This conference is ridiculous. K-State could be vastly improved and still finish in the middle of the pack. So you just got to go take care of that business in non-con. You can't be losing these games, which they did last year.
They did. Fitz, go powercat.com. We'll find all the latest. It's a K-State football bye week. We'll look for all the basketball coverage.
Thank you, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Oh, man. He's with us.
crazy talk online. I don't know how you live. I don't know how you spend as much time with that stuff as you do, TJ. It drives me absolutely insane. I can't even handle it. One more contest we want to tell you about here before we go on Sports Daily, a chance to unwrap the ultimate gift of the season. A trip to Seattle to see Unwrapped, an acoustic holiday, brings an all-star lineup to the stage, a one-of-a-kind stripped-down magic performance. Brent Smith and Zach Myers of Shinedown, The Pretty Reckless, Daughtry, and others will be there. You'll get hooked up with round-trip airfare for two to Seattle, two nights in a hotel, and a pair of tickets to Unwrapped, an acoustic holiday. It's courtesy of BMG Records. You can enter the national contest right now at kfhradio.com. That does it for us today. Tomorrow, we will make picks, TJ. We will get your receipts, and I will be ready to continue my domination.
I'll actually tally these up before we go, so I'll have the stats for us tomorrow ready to go.
Evan Engram is our big Thursday Night Football first scorer bet with a small hedge on Brock Bowers. Let's get it done. We'll come back tomorrow and talk about it. It's all Brockton Cleveland. Thanks to Max for producing. See you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.